Are you getting my point? The man just came up and said, I was so blessed by your ministration today. Please, this is my card. I'd like you to pray about recording an album with us. And Don Moen said, Ron Kennelly said, that was one thing I never had to pray about. They recorded Jesus is Alive. That was their first album. Then they recorded Lift Him Up. I know you still have Lift Him Up till today. By the time I was telling the story, Lift Him Up was the best-selling album, praise and worship album ever produced on the earth. Let me just say something to you. He was not 25 years old that time. Neither was he 35. I don't know how old he was not a small boy. So don't let's get carried away with just wake up one morning because you want to show that your God is able. I kept on telling you, your God being able is not in contention. Are you getting my point? You don't have the duty to prove it to anybody. If Baal is God, that was what Gideon's father said, let him fight for himself. God, if you are able, prove it to them. It's not my job. I've told you, this is how you testify for God. Whatever he has done for you, tell the story. That's all. If he hasn't done it, leave it for those who he has done it for to go and tell the story. You are not God's defender. He's your defender. Are you getting my point? You are not his defender. He didn't give you an assignment. Say, let me, God, I'm going to prove to them you are able. Let me walk on this water while they are watching. You will sink, oh bros. You will sink. Believe me. It's called tempting the Lord thy God. It's not because God can't make people float on water. Just I say, why should I do it? So impress somebody who's planning to go to hell, whether I do it or I don't do it. Please, I hope you're getting my point. That's why I like to tell that story. Of course, after that, the man Ron Kennelly has only gone. Interestingly enough, by the time I saw him in Lagos, he was still music pastor in the same church. Do you know he still held that job? He said he came late because he had to discuss with his pastor because he had to try. He was still music pastor in the same church. It was interesting. By that time, all over the world, invitations from everywhere. Of course, that was Lagos, Nigeria. Do I need to tell you the invitations he was getting in America? Music selling left, right, and center. Then, of course, he has done many albums since. All kinds of albums. And it's just growing and growing. I've not heard from him about him in a while, but you understand the whole story. What did he do to bring that day? Nothing, really, nothing. Next story, T.D. Jakes, who has caused a lot of confusion in quotes now in the lives of young people who just want to be like T.D. Jakes. They don't read the story properly. Bros was not 25 when he became what he is right now. And God is not in a hurry. Do you get my point? God is what? Not in a hurry. I give all this one of. One of our friends was around just now. Named the name of their church. He said, our church is not a church of declaration. And she gave an example. He said, they will say, for God so loved the word that he gave, God will love you in Jesus' name. People will shout amen. He said, that's what they do. You know, that's what we do these days. This year is a year of breakthrough. Amen. This year is a year of this, a year of that. I'm not saying it is not. All right? But this is the interesting part. There are people that year is a year of punishment. It's not a bad thing. You need to be disciplined. It's called the discipline of the Lord. It's still the year of growth. I mean, it's growth. It's growth. So, please, what I'm going to say is that let's not harass God with it. We set our desires. I'm not saying we shouldn't have desires. But this harassment of God is not what he's saying. What he's saying, recognize that I have a plan for your life. Take each season as they come. Do you get my point? Recognize what you are supposed to do in each season. I said, don't ever forget your primary assignment as a child of God is the purification of your heart, the purification of your spirit. He said, we have come to the assembly of the spirits of just men made perfect. T.D. Jakes was a pastor for a long time too. I don't know how many dysfunctional American women he counseled before he decided to organize a program called Woman Thou Art Loosed. And the reason was that he said he discovered that what he would say to Sally is what he would say to Mary, is what he would say to Jane, is what he would say to everybody. So he said, why do I have to be counseling them one after the other? So gather everybody. He did Woman Thou Art Loosed 4 days. And initially I thought it would just be a few women. They told everybody gathered. When he finished, he told one of his friends, see what's going on here? His friend said, okay, come and do it on our side. He went there, did 4 days again. Now he now had 8 tips of Woman Thou Art Loosed. Some people heard him saying, preaching woman that I lose, they approached him and said, let's publish. For them to publish now, the now said he should bring money. The man got angry. Why should I bring money? He said, and the Holy Spirit said to him, invest in yourself. Then all the money he had, by $11,000, he gave them that they might print 5,000 copies of Woman Thou Art Loosed. Do you understand that? And they sold the 5,000 copies in 2 weeks. Now, T.D. Jakes sells books before he even writes them. Yeah. Now, because he was writing so much, he was well known, one secular publishing house, not Christian publishing house, I've forgotten the name now, approached him and said, right, let us publish. That was not the issue. He said, they arranged a meeting. He said, one day he drove up to their office in a limo. He wore a very nice suit and an ugly tie. That's all he said. I don't know what else in the limo, but in a nice car. Then he rode up the elevator and he sat down. They began to negotiate. And he told them, yes, I will write you guys to publish. But listen, these are my rules. Number one, nobody edits what I say. I talk about Jesus as much as I damn well want to talk about him. They said, noted. He gave them all the conditions. They agreed to every single one of them. Told them how much they are going to pay, how the royalties will be. He signed. And like when he was ending the story, he said, periodically they send him a check. And he said, believe me, the checks are good. He said, people say, they are not a Christian publishing now. He said, but they put my books where no Christian books are found. Now, do you get my point? One day, somebody was, I think it was Pastor Paul Adefran that was telling the story. One day he went to the U.S., he went to see Bishop T.D. Jakes, and they just delivered a jet to him. So they said, okay, come on, Paul, let's go and test it. And they rode to Jamaica just to see how the engine is rolling. They flew to Jamaica, just flew around. Some small boys, that's their prayer point. Today, Lord, my own private jet. Go and check the age of the bros that's flying private jet. How many years did he preach messages? This man pastored literally for decades. I don't know exactly how, but not less than 10, 15 years before this whole thing began. How did he become internationally known? I jumped a few steps, I told you. It was all simple. His friend Carlton Pearson organized a program, and he preached for Carlton Pearson. Are you getting my point? And then, Carlton Pearson had a 30-minute program on TV, and they had four preachers in that Azusa. He calls the program Azusa. And then, T.D. Jakes was one of the four, so he put each preacher up for 7 minutes. In 7 minutes that T.D. Jakes was on, while the program was airing, Paul Crouch walked in. He had questions on his mind, and he put on the TV. He happened to be putting on the TV in that short 7 minutes that T.D. Jakes, of the 24 hours in a day. Are you getting my point? He happened to pick the 30 minutes that Carlton Pearson's program was on TV. And the 30 minutes, he happened to pick the 7 minutes that T.D. Jakes was on TV. And in that 7 minutes, he happened to stumble on where T.D. Jakes was talking about Jesus showing up and showing his wounds to his disciples. And he said, show them your wounds. And that suddenly answered the questions of Paul Crouch. Paul Crouch picked the phone, called Carlton Pearson, said, who is that fat man? That was how he entered the TBM family. Suddenly everybody seeing him all over the world. Believe me, he did not beg anybody for it. The problem is that believers don't know how to wait. Go and listen to my message, How to Wait for God. Alright? I'm not going to preach that message again. The point in that message is that God has an assignment for each day. He does. Each day there is one thing that he wants you to do. Get busy doing it and let nobody call you. Look, you know, I said I would tell the way I live my life. Again, if you've heard me long enough, you know the way I do it. I don't worry about anything. No. Your friends have done this, doesn't concern me. I still remember very well. I graduated from school in 1991. I married in 1999. That's 8 years after. So I was married. I didn't have a car. Somebody said, you try and buy a car. You know, this one that you're going to visit your in-laws. And I didn't have to tell him that this is a very funny advice. I have already visited them severally. The young woman who I married knows I don't have one. They know. They know what I do. As God is my witness, I don't know how to pretend. And this is the interesting part. I even have testimonies. Alright, of women testifying behind my back that one thing about Banky is that he's absolutely sincere. I don't know how to pretend. I won't tell you stories to make you think of me more highly than I think I know of myself. Anything I tell you, believe me, I believe it. There's one joker in this town that went and married and was lying to even the girl he's married. On the wedding day, not the day before. The clown was a medical student. And the girl thought he was a medical doctor. In this Enugu here. No wonder shall never end. And he made them introduce people like himself, his classmates. Those ones who were embarrassed, they say, let us welcome to the platform, consultant nephrologist. They will mention one of his classmates. What I'm telling is not a joke. And the girl thought she was getting married. That girl must have sinned. Because I can't understand why God allowed you to be fooled by that kind of person. And I keep asking, what on earth are you going to gain? Is it not marriage you called it? So she won't find out? Okay, by the time the girl, oh God, her mission in life, she used to go around with a folder of all his sins and iniquities. And if she sees you and you know him, she will sit you down and kill him in your presence. I don't know why people lie that kind of rubbish lie. I always say that one of the greatest things you can do for yourself is to tell yourself the truth. Don't let the world, you know, the problem with people is the world. You know, I remember one bro I met one day. One day I was preaching. He thought I was preaching about him. As God is my witness, I wasn't preaching about him. I was just preaching. You know why? You know, a man would come and say, oh, how are you doing? Oh, bro, how are you doing? I'm fine. Where are you coming from? He said, you know, this work is, the pressure is too much. You know, this Charles Ludo campaign. And Charles is always calling me about the campaign. Do you know that kind of thing? He hasn't told you anything, though. No, Charles Ludo is campaigning. And they are doing the election on Saturday, are we? And you think, where are you coming from? He said, I'm just coming from Oka. What are you doing, Oka? He said, this Charles Ludo campaign is so hectic. And Charles is always calling. He'll call him by a first. So you think they are friends. And you look at the guy with his shoe that needs to organize that. You'll be looking at him. Look at him. Who are you trying to impress? You know, you could just look the guy. And he'll be talking. He'll say, my God. And the strategy we have right now for capturing Anambra State, we, the inner caucus of PDP. You'll be looking at him. By the time he finishes telling the story, in my mind, at the end of the day, you know, even those of us who have blessed you, you know what I'm saying? We are not afraid of you, that you are too big. Except that people like me, I know shallow, empty drums, empty barrels like that. I know them. Once I see them, they are palpable. They are the type that, and they say, who will give 1 million naira? They go and stand in front. At the end of the day, borrow 1,000 naira to go home from you. Churches, they do everywhere. Who my wife knows one guy, they come out of church. Who will give 1 million naira? He will go forward. So this project is of the Lord. Who will give 1 million naira? He's in front. If you say 10, he will start for 10 million. The guy no get work, has no income, wasn't doing any business, nothing. After service, he say, guys, nah, but today this week just dry. Anything for the boys there? And the guy, I just said, this is a mental kiss. Let's forget it. This is a mental kiss. And this is what I'm making, all right? These people, what did they do to bring those times to be? Nothing. Nothing. If we let the world send us into an unnecessary and unholy, all right, chase of things that we can't handle. You are starting a small business. The business is just managing to grow. All your friends are now buying brand new cars. So you think you're under obligation. Of course, there will be one bank that will give it to you. Then all your profit plus your capital, you are paying it to Dana Motors or Sony, what do you call this, would market Nissan. Is that? Sun Motors. Uh-huh. You are paying them your money. Elizabeth has collected all your money because you collected the Toyota that you can't afford. Do you get my point? You know one thing about me, if I just now downstairs, 1745 BMW passed. I paused and I looked at it. I like good things. I never pretend. But if you say, Pastor, there's one for sale, I say, don't tell me the price, I'm not interested. Before you finish, it will fit you. You won't dash me. If you don't want dash me, forget the gist. 745. It's a very good car. I happen to know they sell it for 14 million naira or so. If you hear that I bought the car for 14 million, won't you stop attending my meetings? No, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But what am I saying? There are seasons. And listen, there's something about seasons. If you are not there, you are not there. I like the way Miles Monroe said it. If it is winter and you want to pretend like it is summer, you will freeze. See, I'm above the situations of life. It is winter, I don't care. I'm a child of God. Therefore, you come out naked. Don't worry. Your heart will suddenly stop beating. Why? Because you don't recognize the seasons of your life. No, that thing is so crucial. That's what the devil... Look, I'm a preacher. It's one problem with preachers. You want to do everything your friends are doing. Everything your mates are doing. You won't last... Forget preachers. You won't last long in anything that you are doing, behaving like that. I always say... They say, your mates are saying, wait, I don't have mates. I don't know any preacher, all right, that's preaching like me, that's so focused on writing and publishing messages. That's that one I excel above everybody I know in that area. Now, I'm telling you, for the number of years we have preached, the amount of materials we have archived and books that are out, and there's no book I have currently that's transcribed. Listen to me, brethren, I handwrite every one of them. I've been planning for some time to put our radio messages transcribed into books. I will still do it, but as today, 13 books we have out, 4 pamphlets, 2-3 small books, and the rest are sizable books. Grace to Prosper has about 300 pages. That one. You can say, your mate built a house. He didn't write Grace to Prosper. I did. Your mate has 16 million naira in the bank account. He didn't write How to Work for God. I did. What am I saying? I'm not getting mate. Nobody is pushing me under pressure for anything. My tomorrow is secure, is in God's hands. Are you getting my point? I was saying, your life will experience leaps at crucial points, and those points you cannot do anything about them. You can't. Don't forget how I started. I was emphasizing that we must never forget, as believers, your life is what? Not average. It's outstanding. It's planned by God. God individually has books with each person's name written on each one. That is, each individual has a book before God. Listen again. The days of your life were written in those books. Are you getting my point? There's one scripture I just want to read quickly. The book of Isaiah. God said, if I put you in a particular place, all right, and you decide to force yourself to get out of the place, he said, this you will have of the hand of the Lord, you will lie down in torment. That's what happens. That's the only word ends when the season is not yet ready and we are pushing for it. I have another scripture to explain that. The book of Mark chapter 4, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. He said, it grows and all of that. I don't want to give the details now, but he said, when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. He said, this growth is in stages. He said, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the crop is fully mature, it puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. How do you know when the harvest has come? I like to tell a story all the time. As a young person, you have tried to harvest mangoes. You've tried to harvest fruits. You know the way it is. When it's not ripe, you beat it with a stick. It still doesn't come down. You will do everything. Stone it. Sometimes it will shatter to pieces while you are watching it. It will not come down. But when it is ripe, a little shaking and the thing falls down into your hand. When you have to struggle so hard to get something done, it's likely the season has not yet come. Are you getting my point? I was talking to a friend of mine a few days ago. I said, I've made up my mind, though, and I'm sharing it with you so that you will understand, to enjoy every day of my life. Are you getting my point? Let me use material possessions as an example. Life has stages, I keep on saying. I want to give myself an example. There was a stage where all I could buy was nice clothes and look nice. Are you getting my point? And I made sure I looked nice. That's the summary of it. They said, how come you don't have a car? I don't have, but I have good shoes. Do you get my point? I could buy very nice shoes, strong ones, so I bought them. Then the stage came in which I could buy a car, so I started buying one car after another. This one ages, I will change it. He said, why don't you build a house? I said, they're expensive. And God has done me in such a manner that I know the size of a house. If I have to build and call my own, that it must not be smaller than. For those of you who know the house I live in right now, that is that size. It can't be smaller than that. You know why? Because I have not sinned. I have not committed any iniquity. I'm walking the will of God. What punishment will God say is punishing me when he will remove me from a big house into a small house just because he says it's my own? You don't get it? What I'm saying is that by the time I'm building a house, it will be bigger than the one I'm living in right now that I rented. That's what I'm trying to explain. So he said, what stage are you in? I said, I paid nice rent. I live in a nice house. It's stage. No, it's true. I said, the stage will come in which you will look and say, I like that house. How much is it? Say, 100 million. All right. Give the guy a draft tomorrow if he will accept it. A stage will come. But I never read that stage. So right now, all I do is that if my car age, I buy another one. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm not explaining. It's stages. He said, I'll just be building it small. I said, I refuse. In Jesus' name, I refuse it. It's not an investment. It's a liability. No, believe me. Go and read Robert Kiyosaki. It is. My wife does business. The money I will have been using to put in a small. If I give her a small, by the time she finishes the money after some years, it will be big enough to just buy that at a go. This is the point I'm making. I'm not competing with everybody. So everybody's not giving me advice of, you can start, you go and buy a trip of sand here, and then you lay the blocks. You start seeing small. I say it's not an achievement. As God, I've never considered building a house, as God is my witness, an achievement. It's not an achievement. You know what it is? It's like I bought a shirt. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. If I buy a new suit, should I come and tell you, brethren, look at my suit. What do you think? It's a new one. Let's just thank the Lord for it. Let's join hands and let's dedicate this shirt. Amen. Praise the Lord. No. That is the way, like in my office, when they say that, you see, you buy a new car, you know, go wash them. So that I won't look like a stingy man. That's why I do all this washing thing. Because I tell you, it's not an achievement, really. Why do you guys think it's an achievement? It's not. It's one of those things. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, that's the way I look at it. You know what I think is an achievement? Oh, my God. When I write another book and it comes out, the kind of smile. Sometimes I will sit at home, I will be looking and say, like that I told my wife, I said, my wife, this book is beautiful. This book is anointed. Did you read this line? You know, I trip over it. Yeah, because that's purpose for living. Do you get my point? I mean, if you built 15 houses in Haiti, you know what happened to them a few weeks ago? They asked the president of the country, what are you doing at the airport? He said, we are busy. But even if I wanted to go and sleep, there's no house. The Aso Rock collapsed. The earthquake collapsed the Aso Rock of the building of this of that nation. All flesh is what? Grass. I can always say, why don't you build a house? I said, do I even know where I will live tomorrow? A few months before I came to Enugu, I did not know I was coming to Enugu. Listen, one day will come. Maybe I'm not threatening you. I just show up. Praise the Lord. It's been nice staying in Enugu. These meetings will be discontinued at the end of December this year. Say, Pastor, what is going on? Guys, I am moving. To where? To Luanda, I've been at Lusaka. or Abuja. Say, well, it's a season. That the Lord said, all right, what you have done in Enugu is enough. We want to move to another level. Just by the way I run ministry sometimes, people wonder, why don't you do like this? Why don't you do like this? Are you able to do this? When the strategist is getting too much for publicity, for outreach and all of that, I say, wait, it never reached. Don't worry, it never reached. That the time will come, all right? That, you know, what's his name? Billy Graham. There's a particular man, I quoted his name wrongly when I talked about it before, because that's the man who holds that kind of position today, but this was a big newspaper magnate of those days. Somebody called him, said, go and listen to this young preacher. So after they harassed the big man enough, he now went and listened to this young preacher. And he called his editors and said, Pump Graham. Those were the two words. They are very famous words in people who study those things. What did I say? Pump Graham. This man was a control, maybe like 90% of the media in America at that time. So he said to that newspaper now, print medium, he said, Pump Graham. So you know what happened? Everywhere Billy Graham went, his reporters followed. When the man sneezes, they write an article on the sneeze of Billy Graham. How holy and anointed it is. No, I'm just adding pepper and granite. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. But they covered it everywhere. Write his articles in the papers. And these papers were spreading internationally. So much that it became news when you did not know Graham. Billy Graham's associate was in a plane one day. And he was talking with one elderly woman. And the elderly woman was just chatting with the young man. He happened to be a Christian. And they were just talking along the line. I said, okay, what do you do? He said, I'm a preacher. I work. He said, you know Billy Graham? Like I'm an associate of Billy Graham. The woman said, no. Ah, the guy was alarmed. You don't know Billy Graham? He said, he's on TV all the time. He said, oh, maybe he's off when I'm in and he's on when I'm out. I mean, that's just the way the old black woman told the guy. The guy was so surprised, he got back home and told Billy Graham, hear this, today I met somebody in America who doesn't know you. It was news. Everybody knew Graham. What did he do to become known? Nothing. He just kept on preaching. Are you getting my point? That's why I have personally, this is my own, identified what I'm supposed to do this season. When you say I'm always coming back here, Tuesdays, Saturdays, I'm sweating, I'm preaching, we join to make CDs, I say, is it work for the season? Enjoy it while it lasts. Amen? Yeah, one day, they shall come and say, where's Pastor Mark? He's not around. What happened? He has traveled somewhere. They are doing a seminar all over the place. Yeah, because that's the kind of work I'm going to be doing. Are you getting my point? Yes, the time will come where there's no time. In any corner of this earth, you want to listen to this man teach, you won't be able to listen. I mean 24 hours. Pastor Bank, what are you doing to get there? Wait, relax. Things are too wonderful for me. When things are too wonderful, I don't stretch. No. Some of these we preach. I told their sect. It depends on the sphere of life. Go for it. Try hard. Do this. Don't rest. Don't sleep. Wake up. They asked Paul Getty, how do you make money? He said, wake up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. I said, that's the will that is not of God. Do you get my point? The Bible says it is vain to wake up early. It is vain to sleep late. Because striking oil can be done even while you are sleeping. That's what the scripture says. It can be done while you are sleeping. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. What have I said today? Let me try and summarize it. The first scripture we read was Psalm 126. He said, those who sow, okay, what I want to emphasize, they said, when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, that's the best one I need. We were like those who dream. The day will come, that's why I talk about the giant leaps of life. I said from the beginning, don't forget, your life is not average. And I was emphasizing the fact that God has every day of your life written. Samuel, when he filled his horn with oil, that oil wasn't going to pour until he meet David. So when we are saying great things will happen to you, it's not as if you will just stumble on it. No. Blessings, I always like to say, they are what? Commanded. Blessings are commanded. They have a name. You can't pour my blessing upon somebody else just because I went out when you came. So somebody said I wasn't around, that's why I couldn't get that thing. I always say, I am not the only one that God wants to bless. Why I was not around was so that I wouldn't stretch forth my hand into that which was not mine. So God moved me out of the way so that somebody else might get it. I have seen good things that people skimmed for. Skimmed. I did not even know the skimming was going on. That they might get it. The day it was going to be delivered, it was delivered dead into my laps. And they said, Dr. Leshina, this will be good for you. I said, that's very nice. And we, all right, I got involved in the whole thing. It really helped me a lot. Then I heard people grumbling behind her. How did they get it? That didn't follow the proper procedure. We should have done this particular procedure. Later I found out this was skimming. That men were skimming and I was not aware. The day of delivery, God just moved it into a particular channel. And the man who they put it in his hand said, okay, say, find somebody of this profession. He said, I have a friend. And he called me. Where are you? I said, I'm on my way back to town. When you come back, see me. We have to discuss. And I did not even know scheming was going on. A friend of mine called me, was discussing how he got his first job. That he was in church. And the pastor just said, somebody, tomorrow, about this time, something like that, somebody, they are going to send for you. And they said then, he did not know, they were not GSM and all of that, or he didn't have. So, but he had an email address. So he had a friend of his who he kept on giving that guy's number as his contact number. So when they called the guy was supposed to send him a mail. So he used to check his mail every day. And that was it. That day he checked his mail. And this was on Sunday. On Monday was when he checked his mail. And he saw in the mail that he had an interview that morning. No, I don't know what I get what I'm saying. He was in church on Sunday. And a word of the preacher was just preaching. And he said to me, he said, Pastor Banky, you know when something hits you, like it's only you that's been spoken to. I said, I understand. He said, that was how the word came to him that day. And he knew this man was talking about him. So next day, he went to check his mail. And he saw that he had an interview that morning. Do you get my point? That morning. So he looked, what is he going to do? So he ran to a nearby bank where one of his friends worked and said, I have an interview. That guy removed his clothes and gave him to wear. From there, he ran to the place of the interview. He said when he walked into, because you know the way Mike Adenuga does. All right, is it Mike Adenuga? Glow. Huh? Okay. Anyway, you know the way he does interviews all his people. He said, so as soon as he walked in, and he saw the man, he saw his name, and saw the man was from Calabasas, he started speaking Efik, and two of them began to speak Efik, and after they spoke for a while, they laughed. That was the end of the interview. He got the job. There was no, what shall you do? Just, are you from here? Yes, sir. The man turned to this language. After they chatted for a while, they closed the paper, you can go. That was it. He landed the job in a borrowed suit. All this one, they tell you that you dress like this, you dress like that. It's when the glory of God is not following you. That's when you need all those rubbish. He borrowed, get my point, you walk into a bank and say, oh, boy, come, I have interview now. The guy, come out in tie, take. Come out in jacket, take. Just where you are, on your way. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's no scheming. God, look, I don't need to tell you more stories. I hope you have gotten my point. The problem with a lot of believers, they can't wait. They can't. And what I mean, they can't wait. They get too dissatisfied with what God has given them for one day. They easily get dissatisfied. All my friends have gone to America. All my friends have gone to Australia. All my friends are their problem. One of my friend, classmates said something once. He came to Enugu here to come and apply for residency. He had been to US. He had come back. And he made a statement. He said, you guys were wise. He said, if they had told me that I could survive without going to America, I would have said it's a lie. So what God did was God took him to America, disgraced him there, and returned him home. Are you ready to start now? He said, yes, sir. He was now going from one place to another, trying to find his foot again. And that day he came to Enugu, he said, you guys were wise. He said, if I had known, he says, as if you guys knew what was going on. He said, then, if anybody had told me I could survive without going to America, I would have told the person that he was mad. I have been there, I have come back, and here don't live. Have I said anything to you today? Let's bow down our heads and pray for a while. I'm going to give you an interesting prayer point. Say, God, the grace to wait, bestow it upon me. It's a very simple prayer, and I think we should learn to pray such simple prayers. God, the ability to wait in such a manner as to please you. I want to just say a word of thanksgiving. Say, Lord, I thank you. I know you have a great plan for my life. Say, Lord, I'm not an accident. I was not born by chance. All the days of my life were recorded in your books. My life is not an accident. The very hair on my head, they are numbered. The very hair on my head, they are numbered. I know you have a purpose for me. So until the day of my change, I will wait. The grace to wait is what I'm asking for today. So in the name of Jesus, pour it upon me. I know my life will take great leaps. The place that I'm going to, I cannot engineer it myself. Help me, Lord. Thank you for the assignment I have for today. Say, Lord, thank you for the assignment I have for today. It's very vital that you say that. Say, Lord, you have put me in a new level. Or is this same level that you have placed me in for a while? Thank you for that assignment. I'm not complaining. Help me to execute your work well in this season. Oh, Lord, thank you for the great things that are coming. I desire great things. Say, Lord, I desire great things. I want to shake the earth for you. I want my influence to be great. Say, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. You are the King of kings. That makes me a king. You are the Prince of princes. That makes me a prince. That means I'm a ruler. That means I'm a person of authority. That means I'm a person of dominion. Therefore, I desire great dominion. You said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Lord, I know I will fill the earth. I have been called to fill the earth and to subdue it. Lord, execute that judgment in my life in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to do something. Any great thing. You know, I've been saying this again and again. Let me just give you that to do. You can do it now. Do it again at home. Think of something great that you would like to do. I don't mean something small. Great must be something that's far beyond you right now. I want to build 25 universities in Nigeria and Africa. Something like that. I want to own satellite companies. Why must Nigerians go to South Africa to be beaming all their satellite stations? Something like that. We need better international airlines starting from Nigeria. Something like that. All right, we want to manufacture a Nigerian made car. Something like, you know, something great like that. There's something that God wants to use you for. Just dream something like that. You know, why must Nigerians fly to India for surgeries? Something like that. You know, something great. Now say, Lord, bestow this greatness upon me, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a very simple prayer. Now you've seen it's a great thing. You can't get there by yourself. God will send men. He said, I call a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country. The time your life is going to experience a leap is because God will send somebody from a distant country, from a great place, people you did not know. He will send them to you and cause them to help you. Concerning David, it was said that God sent men to help him. People came, these men came so as to help David. The Bible says that until they became great around him like the army of God. God will mobilize a great army around you. Believe that. He will. But say, Lord, the grace to wait until you manifest that. Pour it upon me tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you are blessed today, say amen. If you are blessed today, say amen. Make me happy now. Come try. Thank you very much. The Lord is good.